Light conveys both an absence of darkness and a quality that will help us to see and understand more clearly. The light of wisdom will guide us through troubled times and challenges. How often do we seek a wise person's counsel, right? We often find ourselves asking, light should be shed on a situation, and then clarity will come from it. Light also communicates levity or joy. A light heart is wise, right? Not held down by heavy emotion and thoughts of doom or despondency. The person who is light in nature laughs easily and takes life as it comes. They do not dwell in life's downturns with a heavy heart. They bounce right back with resilience. A blessing of light in a marriage ceremony is usually very acceptable and something that is welcomed. So what is spiritual light, I ask? Can it be quantified or qualified? If it's so good, how do you use it? And when and where? How does the light make a difference in our lives? And how do you experience the light? Well, look at the light as a being, letting inspiration guide higher thought. So welcome in today to this episode of Affirmations for Living. Of course, I am your host, Reverend Edvige. And today, my special guest is Kitee Keating. And she is the creator and the publisher of a newly released book that's sure to be a bestseller. And it's called The Light. Now, The Light is a book, as she says, is for everyone who wants to see the light, feel the light, be the light, and spread the light. As we're living in this time of enlightenment, that certainly sounds pretty perfect for me. As she says, the intention of this work is to enhance the world's beauty by working together as one light. So how to awaken this flicker within one's heart is the question. And this light we speak of is the light that transforms a person's life from ordinary to extraordinary. And so we're really going to enjoy speaking with her today. As you'll find out, this book, The Light, there are approximately 22 authors in this book, and they've all come together, some names that you'll recognize. They've all come together to participate in this movement, which I think is what she is creating. So we're going to bring her on, and hopefully, if you have any questions, feel free to call in with those. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815. And she's going to be joining us in a moment. So thank you for staying tuned. Hello, everybody. I am back. And so my question as I went to this break was how to awaken this flicker within one's heart. That is the question. How do we awaken this flicker of light? This light we speak of is the light that transforms a person's life from the ordinary to the extraordinary indeed. And so my guest, she's on right now, is Kitee Keating. Kitee, hello and welcome. And thank you so much for taking time out to be with me today. I truly appreciate it.
Hi, Edwige, and thank you so much for giving me this opportunity and inviting me on to speak. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. Yay. For sure. So, you know, I was reading the book. First of all, it's just amazing, and we're going to share with everyone how they can get a copy of it. And so I, first of all, find your story fascinating because, you know, some of those experiences I've had myself in this awakening process and it being very organic. So yeah. Just a little bit, share how you discovered your light, right?
Okay. Well, it all began when I was, I used to have a magazine in Spain called The Centinela. It's an expat magazine. And I was doing that for about 2 years. And then I realized I wasn't enjoying it. So I asked my sister and her husband if they'd like to come out and run it for me. Mm-hmm. And they said yes. And I was very happy with that because it meant I didn't have to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. However, there was a big however because as soon as they moved over to Spain to take over the running of it, I then realized that I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do next. And I began to feel very lost. I knew that there was something greater that I, you know, was going to do, but I didn't know what it was. So that was a very difficult time for me, and I did feel quite depressed at that time in my life. And then one day I really felt like I couldn't get much lower. And so I simply just looked up and I asked, and I spoke to Spirit, and I asked that something come in and that I was given a sign about what to do next to lift myself from this depression and to move forward on my journey. So within a couple of days, I then picked up a magazine, a different magazine, not the one that I ran in Spain, but a different one, like a spiritual magazine.
Okay.
And there was an advert in there for the Mind, Body, Spirit event, which was in Marbella. So I decided to go to that. There was something that called out to me to attend this event. And it was there that I met a man called Richard Waterbourne, who's actually one of the contributors of The Light. And he had a stand called Mind, Body, Soul Healing. And again, I was just very drawn to walk over to this stand and speak to him and find out what his, you know, what this was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So he explained it to me, and it sounded slightly scary just because he wasn't telling me in detail exactly what it entailed. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe I'll give that a go. But I just wasn't 100%. I took his card and I thought, when the time is right, I'll get in touch with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, about a month later, I just felt that I really had to do something. So, and again, I knew this was kind of guided because of the way it all happened. And he kind of seemed a bit familiar to me, and the same back. You know, we had this familiarity between us where we both felt we knew each other.
Mm.
So I rang him up, or I think I emailed actually, and just made an appointment to see him. And this healing was called cellular healing. So, it gets right down to the energy in our cells.
To the core, absolutely.
Absolute core.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I mean, the first session we had was just incredible. You know, there was something quite major lifting from me, which I'd carried for a number of years, something quite traumatic that happened in the past. And my body was actually shaking really badly throughout the whole two-hour session as this thing lifted out of me. And anyway, that was that. And I went home feeling slightly confused and a bit weak and quite tired, actually, and just went straight to bed. And it was the days that followed, I think the first 2 to 3 days after, I started having quite surreal, mystical things happening. I would hear my name kind of just whispered in my ear suddenly as I awoke. Mm-hmm. I saw like a big ball of light in my bedroom that was trying to talk to me. I didn't know what it was saying to me at the time, but it was definitely trying to talk to me. And a few other things as well that happened, which were just out of the ordinary. It was like the veil had lifted. So something had kind of changed.
Absolutely.
Within me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally amazing, the things that were happening. And I felt at that time very connected to Spirit as well, and that everything was just as it should be. And I had quite a number of sessions after that. I think I might probably about 5 or 6 sessions. And each time new things would happen, you know, soon after I had them. So I knew there was a lot going on. And at one point I then realized that, you know, I'd had enough and I didn't need to have any more of these healing sessions. But a couple of days after the ball of light came to visit me in my bedroom, it came into my head as I was eating dinner that I had to put together a book, and it had to include all the people that had helped me on my journey, because at this point there were more people that were coming forward to help, you know, in different ways, but very much on a spiritual level. So they were all people who were, you know, luminaries really in that whole arena. And I just thought they were all incredible what they were doing. And a lot of them were helping me as well for free. You know, they were kind of just helping because they felt to. And I really wanted to give back to these people in some way. And that's really how the idea for the book came about. You know, well, it was placed into my head. I know that without a doubt, that it just sort of landed in my head.
Well, you know what? And that happens when we say the still small voice, and when all channels of our guide mind are open, that's exactly what happens. These channels are open, and then our higher God self, our higher self, is able to communicate with us. And all sorts of amazing opportunities and things will flow right through, because those veils, like you said, have come down. And so we're truly able to, in that space, create and get the guidance to really live a divine life, and you're a prime example of doing just that. So it's fascinating.
Exactly what happened. Yeah. And it is amazing. And as soon as I got that guidance to put this book together, I acted on it almost straight away. I remember Richard Waterbourne, the healer, was one of the very first people I emailed, actually, to ask whether he would be interested in contributing a chapter to the book. And he came back pretty much straight away and said that he'd be delighted to. So I was very happy about that. And it gave me the, it gave me like the courage to continue with it and not just to drop it. So that was a really good start to the whole thing. And then I approached a few of the other people who had helped, and they were all saying the same. And they were actually all very excited and very supportive about the whole thing.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's really how it came about in the first place, and how the idea developed.
So now that was then just guidance that created the book, truly. Now, why the name The Light?
Well, actually, it didn't start off with the name The Light, because as soon as this came into my head that I had to do this project, the days that followed, I started mentalizing a lot about what to call it, because I always like to know the title before I start. And a lot of people that put together a book, sometimes what happens is the title comes in at the end or halfway through. But I always just like to know the title. So it was something that I was trying to come up with intellectually. You know, I was sitting down and thinking, basically.
You got in the way of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I've always been quite like that, you know, where I use my head a lot. I have used my head a lot in the past to come up with things like this. And so, anyway, the name I came up with, the title, actually it was my ex-boyfriend who came up with it after a lot of, brainstorming. And he suggested Soul and Chips, which was, you know, in England, everybody eats fish and chips.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was like a play on words with the soul, with being also a fish. Of course, you have the soul, which is a fish. I don't know if you know any of this, but so it was actually just a sort of fun play on words, which works in England, but perhaps doesn't work anywhere else in the world. And I didn't really think of it at that point. But, you know, obviously in America, you don't call chips chips. They're called fries here, aren't
fries.
They?
Exactly.
So really, it just would not have worked. And it was quite awful, actually, the whole thing. But that was what it was called to begin with. And it was called that, actually, for probably about a year or so, you know, as I was going through the process. But then one day, I think developed a bit. So we got like some other people in it, and it kind of just was seemed to have moved forward a bit of a gear in some senses. And then this one night I had a dream and a man came to see me. This is a friend of mine who's a very, quite a famous medium. And, he's quite elderly, but he's a good friend of mine. And he appeared in my dream and told me that the book should be called The Light, and I had to change the title. And the way this happened in the dream was not quite as straightforward as that. I was actually seeing an image of these people, and they were running up a green hill, and the sky had parted, and there was the light coming down. It was a beautiful scene. Mm. And these people were on the top of the hill, and they were reaching their arms up, like, to touch the light. And this is when the man turned to me and told me that, you know, your book should be called The Light. And when I woke up that morning, I wasn't quite sure whether I should go with that or whether it was just a dream. You know, again, it was the intellect taking over.
I know. We also understand that. Trust me.
that moment of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's pretty normal. But I kind of said to, at the time I was reading Autobiography of a Yogi by Yoganda.
I always
forget his first name. I can't. It's something that just like doesn't roll off the tongue very well. Anyway, so I just sort of like spoke to him inwardly, and I asked for a sign that the book should be called The Light. You know, I just said, like, show me a sign that the book should be called that. And I'm just going to open your book, and maybe the first word that I see will help in some way. So I mean, I didn't really know what I was expecting at this point. You know, I wasn't really expecting anything. I just thought, oh, maybe something.
Let's see what happens.
So I did that. And as I opened the book, the very first word that my eyes landed on was the word light. And I was just like,
of course.
Whoa, that's too much. You know, I can't get a clearer sign than that.
But you still doubt. That's the funny thing. We still sometimes will doubt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, for sure. I still, even after that, I still did doubt a few times.
It's like, are we sure that's the name?
Yes. I was asking everyone, like all the people who were involved at that time, I was asking them, what do you think? Do you like the light? And funny thing was, nobody was saying, yes, we like the light. Instead, everybody was saying, have you thought about calling it the light within? Or have you thought about calling it something else, but with the light in it? But nobody said, like, yes, the light, that's it.
So that's why you still had the doubt. Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah, in a way, I think that's why I still had the doubt. But it was almost like nobody was hearing me, I thought, as I was telling people about this. It's almost like, are they actually hearing that I'm asking, you know, what do you think of the light? Because no one was really answering the question direct. They were kind of just, but it was a funny process all round, and I'm sure it was all happening for a reason, to teach me as well, I think, to trust myself.
To trust yourself, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a big lesson that I've had throughout this process. Anyway, so that's what happened, and then I did act on it, and I did change the title to The Light. So that's what it is.
Perfect. And it works, obviously. It works. So
yeah.
Now, so, okay, you talked about Richard Waterborne and some other people that you originally asked, but there are 22 contributors. And I mean, everything from Ken Lauer and using feng shui to Barbara Marx Hubbard's. And her chapter is Peace Through Co-Creation. How did you find 22 people?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually.
That's a lot of, I mean, think about it.
That's a lot of people, yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing was that, so I started out with probably about 8 to 10 contributors, and they had all helped me personally, most of those I had met, and, you know, they really had helped on my journey a lot. And then there were other people who I had kind of just connected with on the internet, or perhaps I just read their book, who at some point in my life had also helped me forward. And so I started to just widen the net a little bit as I realized I needed more, you know, more contributors. And so I kind of just connected with a few people on, you know, just sent out chance emails, which were responded to, not in all cases, but a lot of the cases they were responded to. And they would say yes. And another thing that happened was I would just maybe meet one person who had amazing connections. Who was able to then to pass me on to other people that they knew, you know, who could also help and who might be a good fit for a certain chapter idea I had. So it was actually very magical the way it all came together.
I love when that happens. You know, for me, I love those synchronistic signs and how the universe will bend, fold, and mold to bring those right people to you at the right time when you're open to receiving. It's incredible the way that works. I know the journey for me has been like that as well. And I'm always amazed and fascinated and so grateful to be in the awareness of it as I'm moving through it. It's just phenomenal. So
I know what you're saying, and it's very good as well, isn't it, to kind of recognize that and to say thank you when somebody does come back and say yes. I think that was a key thing as well, you know, for me to just be in that grateful place. And a couple of times when a contributor got back and said yes, I actually did cry just because I was so overwhelmed with how lovely their emails back were. And I was just very emotional, and in that moment of emotion, I was able to say thank you, and it just felt very strong and powerful.
Wow. And that's what kept it moving forward.
I think so. I was going to say that. Yeah, I'm very much sure that did keep it moving forward, and it was just interesting that every time a new contributor came in, it would be somebody even more, you know, successful, I suppose, or even, you know, somebody who was even more kind of like living in the light the way that they do. I mean I'm amazed about Neil Donald Walsh and his involvement. You know, obviously he's been very successful with the Conversations with God series.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And that came in a very strange way because I was actually doing something else at the time altogether. And it suddenly just came into my head again that I had to contact Neil Donald Walsh. And I thought, oh, okay. So I just dropped what I was doing. And I emailed him then and there at that moment. I wasn't sure I had the right email address, but I did find one online. And I sent it. And he answered me within 20 minutes saying, yes, I will contribute to your book. And he answered it personally. And it was a very lovely email. And so those are the things where I think you know, sometimes we get these things in our head and it's quite easy not to act on them. But sometimes I think they're very big signs to act.
Absolutely. Yeah, it truly are. Wow. Now, you know, looking at the book, it's broken down into three categories. Why?
Yeah.
Why did you break it up like that?
Yeah, well, actually, you see, as the book progressed, one of the contributors who's written the chapter on forgiveness, mm-hmm. Julie Chimes, she became a bigger part of the whole project in that she started to mentor me a little bit through this. She's had great success herself with a book called A Stranger in Paradise, which describes her journey of nearly being stabbed to death when she was a lot younger, mm-hmm. and how she left her body and had amazing experiences in the light herself. But she really understands about living in the light. And so she actually helped me with the book when it got to a certain point. And it was her suggestion actually to put in these three sections and to just split it up a bit so that we had the sections. And it just works so well to do it like that. So the first section is preparation, because we, you know, first of all, we have to prepare the body to be able to receive the light. So that's the first section. It's almost like, you know, you can't put certain voltage of electricity through 40 wires.
Exactly.
It's the same with our body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to prepare it and to be strong enough to be able to work with the light in that way. So they're all kind of, you know, chapters about the body and preparing it, nutrition and physically the body, yoga as well is quite key in that section. And then we have the practices section. So then these are the things that we do on an ongoing basis once our body's prepared. We then do the practices, and that then helps to reawaken our light. And then the third section is the subtle energy experiences, and they're the things that we will see happening as a result of this effort we have put in before that. So the three sections just, you know, it's really taken the book to a whole new level. And I'm obviously very thankful for Julie to sort of being there and suggesting that.
You know, that's fascinating because I can share that with my experiences that I've had. I think they've gone in that same exact route because I'll not forget when the voices, when I first started hearing them, one morning I was going to my refrigerator to prepare breakfast and I heard no more meat. And so that began the practice of cleaning the body and taking care of the body and becoming mm-hmm. vegetarian. And then the practices became literally, I was visited by a Syrian. And when I say a Syrian, I mean from the plant, you know, from Sirius.
Oh,
and they
wow,
said,
yeah.
And they said, it's time for you to start meditating. We're ready to teach you. So then, through synchronistic signs, meditation, I found the meditation that I was to learn. And so I started meditating and really starting to develop the practices of all of these things. And then,
yeah.
lo and behold, the next thing happened. Well, the experiences are beyond. And actually, I'm writing a book on that because I've been visited. I've gone to different dimensions, all sorts of amazing things if you coming in.
Oh, it sounds like you'd be a great contributor to the next book. That's experiences of the light.
literally being touched in the middle of the night, opening up my eyes and, whoa, okay, where are we going tonight? Literally.
Wow, yeah. Wow, it sounds like you've had amazing experiences. So it's happened in the same way with you, with the,
so,
with the
yes.
different the sections in the book have been the same as your process.
And that's And that's what I share with people, because I do a class, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. And that's exactly what I share, because it makes sense. We have to prepare the house, because the house moves along with us. And we, the vessel, we're the house. And so we have to prepare it along with mentally clearing out all the gunk. And that's what the meditation allows you to activate and wake up everything and turn those chakras on. So fascinating. People have no idea how useful this book can be for them. So what then is the main goal? How will this help people?
Well, the main goal of the book is to essentially just help people to reawaken that inner light inside. I mean, we all have it in us. Unfortunately, a lot of people, it's just dwindled over the years. You know, as children, we come in with that light fully ignited. And what happens, I guess we all know, is that as we grow older, the light can diminish, unfortunately, through things that we're taught, things that we've said, what peers tell us, teachers, and we lose that amazing ability that we've had as children. Mm-hmm. And so this is just to really to help people to reawaken that. And as they do that, everything in their life will just start to flow a lot easier. The synchronicities will start happening. And it's also to teach people about the whole concept of unity consciousness and living in one with each other, because the world is definitely changing right now. And indeed. I think when people are able to see that and live, you know, in that state of oneness, then things are going to be a whole lot easier for them right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So when they finish the book, then the end goal is that they would have been able to ignite or reignite truly the light that's within, and that would help to lead you to a path of even finding your soul purpose and finding your inner calm.
Yeah, they're the two key things, but of course also, you know, going on into the future, you know, just being able to shine at everything that they do and you know, whatever success means for that person, to be able to live in that successful place.
Wow, that's wonderful. That really truly is. Very cool. Now, there are charities attached to this. So how does that work?
Well, from the very beginning, I was also told, again, it kind of just came into my head, that this has to be a book for charity, 100% for charity. So there's no... that, you know, I'm not benefiting from it in any way financially, nor is anybody else in terms of the contributors or anybody who's helping with this. Mm-hmm. Everything is for charity. So we then decided to choose a number of charities rather than just one charity to benefit from it, because we do have a big goal to raise $1 million for our charities. And we made a point of looking for charities which were doing amazing work in the world and not renowned for spending a lot of money on admin and that side of things. Because we just feel it's important that every penny or every cent that we raise does go to the cause that it's supposed to go to and isn't spent on, you know, some of these charities, some of the larger ones, I think, they do have big expenses to pay. So we were just trying to avoid that. So we've got 7 charities in total.
And what are they?
Okay, so we have the Heartfelt Foundation, and that's the charity of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No.
So that's a smaller charity. And the way we're doing it, we're dividing it up into – so smaller charities are receiving 5% each of the net profit, and then we have large charities which are receiving 20% each, more or less. But it all comes to 100% in total. And then we have the – so another smaller one we've got is the Shuingirai Trust, and that deals with, like, women in Africa. And then we have the Love a Child Foundation, which is a great charity, which is actually, they are based more in Tibet. So they, you know, they basically sponsor children in Tibet who need funds, who may not have families to help them. And they put them through education and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our own charity, which is called The Light Worldwide. And we're going to be spreading spiritual teachings to children. We haven't done anything yet, but that's going to be our first goal. And also we want to support entrepreneurs who are doing this kind of work in the world, you know, to be able to help fund what they're doing. We've got the Alder Hey Children's Charity, which is based in Liverpool in the UK. And that's like a children's hospital where they support, you know, they basically help children who are terminally ill. And we have the Forgiveness Project, which is another charity based in the UK. And that's the one that Julie Chimes, who I mentioned earlier, is a big part of, because she wrote about forgiveness.
Okay.
And then we have the last one is the Conversations with God Foundation, which is the charity of Neil Donald Walsh.
Lovely.
Yeah. So they're the lovely. Yeah, it's a lovely selection of charities.
Mm-hmm.
We're very happy with the ones. And they're also great and supportive about what we're doing as well. So
now, when did the book go on sale?
Well, it's already out on Kindle. So that's available, you know, via Amazon.com. However, the paperback version doesn't come out in the US until the 13th of January.
Okay.
It is up on Amazon, but it's available on pre-order at the moment. And as soon as January the 13th comes, they will then ship them out to the different locations. And it's available already in the UK as well. But I guess that there's not many people listening here from the UK right now.
Well, you know, it's really hard to say because this is the internet, and so people listen from all around the world. I know I get Facebooked from people in Italy, from Bangladesh. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So someone somewhere in the world is listening. So it's worth mentioning because there are thousands and thousands of listeners, which I'm so beyond thankful that I have a really wonderful audience.
That's amazing.
And it's growing. My numbers are just blow my mind, actually. So very exciting. Very cool. So now, you know, there's this white butterfly throughout. It's on the cover and it's throughout the book. What does that represent?
Okay, well, the white butterfly appeared to me in a dream again. And this was when we were struggling with the front cover design, not knowing really what to put on it. Because when you have a book called The Light, it can be a bit confusing about what really to put on there.
Well, exactly. Is it a light bulb? Is it, you know, am I turning on a light?
Yeah, exactly. We didn't think those would work, really. That's the different kind of light, really. But I mean, you know, obviously they were sort of in my head at one point as well. And I'm thinking, oh, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, I know.
I just asked again one night before I went to bed, and I just sort of said, could you give me a sign about what's got to be on the front cover? And when I woke up the next morning, there was this swarm of white butterflies just floating around in my awareness. It was, again, it was very magical, and it was I was almost out of sleep. It was the state between when you're asleep and awake, in that level of consciousness, and they were just flying around, and it was very peaceful, and I felt quite serene at that moment. But then as I actually woke up, I just got it, and I said thank you, because I just knew that a white butterfly had to be on the front cover. And the funny thing was, after that, I kept seeing white butterflies everywhere I went. I just couldn't stop seeing them. I would just go out and there would be a white butterfly that would just float past my eyes, you know. And this one day I went for a walk along the beach, and you don't usually get white butterflies really on the beach, but I was walking towards the lighthouse at the time as well, which was quite ironic. And I remember, again, I had one of those moments where I thought, please just give me a sign that I'm doing the right thing with this book, and that, you know, I'm supposed to be bringing it out. And there was this white butterfly. And, well, it was kind of a butterfly. I suppose you could say it was a cross between a white butterfly and a moth, but that's close enough.
And, absolutely.
And it just suddenly appeared to my left side. I was walking right by the sea at this point, and it was flying ahead of me, and then it would just stop on a pebble, and then I would catch up with it, and then it would, like, flutter away again a little bit further along, you know, going towards the lighthouse in the same way as I was walking. I was literally following it. And then there was like a thing with a white feather as well that I kept seeing everywhere. But it was really the butterfly that was the big sign for me. Every time I had this moment of doubt, I would literally look up and see a white butterfly. And I just knew it was Spirit's way of talking to me.
Absolutely. Awesome. So now the second section of the book, where it's the practical and the practices, do you go step by step as far as, you know, how to meditate, how to do this? What, give us some of the examples of some of the practices we might find in the book, if you can.
Yeah, so, I mean, the meditation is one of the key ones, for sure. Mm-hmm. And it does, yeah, I mean, there are ways which it tells you to how you can meditate, and, you know, suggested ways of meditating. We also have, in most sections, we have the something called the light practice. And that's just like an example, like a condensed example of what, how you can, you know, like an exercise, really.
Okay.
How you can actually, in that case of meditation, it would be how to meditate, or there'll be an example meditation of how you can go about that. Other practices, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, we have how we can use the creative ability, how we can tune into that. Mm-hmm. To be able to you know, help us along this path. Because with the creative, I mean, a lot of that is, again, it's kind of comes direct from the divine. So it's about opening up to that creative element of ourselves. And again, watching magic happen when we allow ourselves to get into that space.
Mm.
Other practices, we have getting in touch with the true self, which is something which, again, a lot of people, I think, do lack. You know, we have, I mean, that's actually quite a big topic, really, that one. And
yes.
Terry Tillman is the man who has written that chapter. And, yeah, I mean, that's a really, really in-depth chapter. It's got a lot of information in it. And it's actually very magical, that chapter. So I don't want to spoil it.
Don't want to spoil it. No, but
no, for sure.
And so now, Richard, on his chapter, does he discuss cellular healing and what that is, or what does he discuss in his chapter?
Yes, his chapter is about healing, and that's his speciality. That he's an expert in that. So
okay.
His chapter is very much about healing the past, because really everything that we hold in ourselves are memories of the past, whether mm-hmm. it be from this lifetime or other lifetimes.
Absolutely.
And it's that energy that's trapped that just stops us from achieving our full potential. So he very much describes how we can let go of that and move forward into, you know, new and amazing ways of being.
So then my question would be, you don't have to be an expert. This book then is for, who is this book for? Can someone who doesn't know anything about meditating, doesn't even know what you're talking about when you say the light, but, you know, they're inquisitive. Who's the perfect reader of this book?
Yeah, I think that the readers are more or less going to be guided to the book. In the sense that this whole project has been completely guided by spirit. And so, you know, some people are asking, you know, how are you going to market this book? Are you going to do a big marketing campaign? And
mm-hmm.
and really, we're not going to do that in the traditional way of, you know, a very heavy marketing and promotion campaign. Well, we're not really going down that road. We're very much going to be guided by the light, as we have been throughout the whole project.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that the right people are going to cross our path at the right moment. And I think it's the same with the readers. The readers will be guided towards it if it's the right book for them. So,
wonderful.
I mean,
yeah.
To answer your question, I think that it's just, it could be anyone. I think some people will already be, you know, on the spiritual path, and they will be guided towards it. And in the same way, I think there might be people who haven't really been that open to this kind of thing in the past, yet they will also be guided towards it.
Absolutely, because, you know, for the beginner who's awakening, this is a wonderful guide, as it were, to help you to expand. And, you know, like I said again, for me, how I experienced it, pretty much the book is set up that way. And so for those who are wondering where they can begin this process of their awakening, The Light certainly is a good book for you to start, for sure, because all the practices that you need are right there, and you don't have to go anywhere else.
Yeah, it's like just full of, you know, full of light. It's a book of light. That's what I say.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah, very cool stuff. Do you have any other thoughts that you'd want to share as far as, you know, the goal of the book? Just anything else that you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I mean, the goal of the book is really to you know, that's to help people, you awaken their inner light. And at the same time, of course, we have the whole charitable side of things, which I really am excited about, and, you know, really have this vision of making this $1 million for charity, which does mean quite a number of book sales.
Yeah, indeed it does.
I have worked it out, and yeah, it would mean selling roughly about 250,000 books, which is quite a number.
Quite.
However, yeah, I mean, that's one way of doing it. We've also setting up something called the Spread the Light campaign, which is, we do have a domain name for that, so it's Spread the Light, hang on, let me just get this right, spreadthelightcampaign.com.
Okay.
And on there, you'll see how a number of ways in which people can help to get the message out about the book. So it might be that, you know, you're able to just put something on Facebook about it to let other people know it's out, or maybe if you have a Twitter account to tweet something about it. And we have like some example posts and things. So the Spread the Light campaign is also a way of people donating money directly to the charity fund. So, you know, it might be that somebody's bought the book and they loved it so much that they then just feel compelled to help further. It might be through a donation, or it might be that they're able just to donate a little bit of time to put in something on Facebook or sending an email to some of their friends or something like that, just to help spread the word.
Wonderful. So you're really then trying to create a movement to empower people to stand up, because we're always asking and saying to ourselves, well, you know, I'm just one person, I can't make a difference. And that is such a cop out, because we can all make a difference. And this is one prime example of doing that. So you can by participating in buying the book.
Yeah, I think, and also it's the big thing of the unity consciousness thing, and working together as one. Because I know that this book hasn't, it's not me that's been doing it. I mean, I'm very much aware that it's Spirit who's very much guiding the whole thing, and I'm just being used as the vehicle to somehow get it all together, and, you know, along with the help of all the contributors and the other people that are involved. So I don't see it as my project. It's our project.
Absolutely.
You know, with the contributors, but not just the contributors. It just seems like it's our, as in everybody's project. So that's really much the way I'm seeing it.
Well, I would agree, especially with all the different charities from all around the world. This is really unity consciousness at its best. And, you know, it's bringing the world globally together and being able to impact so many in so many places is just such a wonderful undertaking. I really have to say, you know, amazing that you're doing this and that you're being gifted with it. I saw a little bit of your interview. I forget the gentleman's name. I think it's on your website, the television interview. Hopefully you'll get more television and really spread the word, because this could just impact so many people again all around the world. What a amazing effort to undertake.
Thank you so much. And I mean, it has been just an amazing journey really so far, and this is really just the beginning. I feel, you know, the book's it's been a very long 2 years that I've spent putting it together, along with, you know, my friend's help as well. And it's just been incredible how the people that have shown up along the way, the synchronicities. And I just feel that this is really, it is just the beginning, and that there's going to be so many more incredible things happening as it progresses.
Wonderful. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
now, there's a website, the Light Network. Is that the website?
Yes, the website's thelightnetwork.com. Okay. You can access the Light page from there, because that's we have like some different sections on there, so you're able to access the Spread the Light campaign from that URL, and also the Light book. And we have a column called the Light. We have a blog called thelightcolumn.com. So all of those things can be accessed from thelightnetwork.com.
Okay, and then you also have a page about yourself.
Yes, I have. There's a page about me on there. There's also a page about each of the contributors, and each of the charities. And there's a lot of information on the website that, you know, people can read through if they wish. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And the like column is something new where I've only just started that. I think I put the first post on there just 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So that's very fresh and new, and people are able to sign up to that as well if they wish to do so. And they'll be emailed the posts each time we post something.
Lovely. Amazing. I just want to say thank you so much for being on today. Everyone listening, go and get the book, The Light. You will not be disappointed. I can guarantee that you definitely will enjoy it and get something from it. And hopefully that light will begin to shine brightly within you. So, Heidi, I want to thank you. You take care. And
yeah, thank you so much as well for the interview. It's been amazing. And
my pleasure.
Great.
My pleasure. We'll have to talk again soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
So, everyone, there you have it. The Light. Absolutely amazing. And I think we answered the question, how do we awaken that flicker that's within our heart? It's by beginning to do these processes, right? It's by actively seeking to want to awaken that flicker within your heart. And as you awaken that flicker, it becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. And then your light shines so brightly that no one can douse and dampen that light. And so that is truly the goal as we move into 2013 and beyond, that we stand brightly in our light. So just let me give you a couple of notes in the last couple of minutes of the show. Affirmations for Living, as you know, I have a website, affirmationsforliving.net. It's all about affirming a positive way of living. And I really want to emphasize that this year. It's your birthright. It truly is your birthright to live with passion and purpose and to prosper. Right? Imagine that right now in this very moment, you can gain the confidence and the courage to do just that. On my site, we offer all the tools and services to assist you on your journey. If you haven't been there yet, affirmationsforliving.net, we have 13 categories of affirmations. We have guided meditations. We even have downloadable MP3 lessons from my master series. And I do one-on-one spiritual life coaching. So if you want to connect with me, you can do so on the website. Whatever you want to bring in the new year, whether it be health, wealth, happiness, finding your soul purpose, I'm here to really help to facilitate that. Remember that change begins with a single thought. So what in this moment are you creating for yourself? Until next time, I want to thank you. I am Reverend Edvige. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living. Take care. Bye-bye.